closer.
You're listening to Country Squire Radio.
Welcome to Country Squire Radio. I'm Bo.
And I'm John David.
JD!
Hey, Bo, good afternoon, man.
Man, good afternoon to you too, sir. How you doing today?
Man, pretty good. You know, it's funny, I'm actually happy to say I'm doing pretty good. A couple weeks ago on the show, I was lamenting and belly aching about these neck pains and vertigo and all this kind of stuff. And man, I have to say, I was really, really encouraged by all the people that actually... You know, I didn't even really think anything of it, like mentioning that on air and kind of, you know, sharing that, because you always ask me how I'm doing and typically everything's fine. But I'm, you know, just spent a little time belly aching, but about having these these ailments. But man, it was actually really kind. I was really touched by all the folks that reached out to me that just said, man, I hope you get to feeling better soon. I heard you're, you know, struggling with some dizziness and nausea and neck pain. And man, it was really neat. It reminded me that people care, you know, so it was good. So yeah, I'm doing good. Yeah,
I'm glad to hear it. Yeah, and it's always nice, man. We got an amazing community out there.
Good community. Yeah, we really do.
Hopefully, I mean, like, you know, less one dear listener, you know, who was, you know, the roll your own French waiter from Florida
from Tampa,
right. Who, you know, after last week's episode, you know, it is interesting because I feel like, you know, last week's episode, things were said and I feel like I need to, at least this is for me personally. I feel like I need to clarify a couple of things. I am a man of extremes. Okay. I'm
yes.
I like things a certain kind of way, and I can be a very intense person. When I'm doing something, I like to go, you know, full in. Don't ask me to get something done, because like I will get it done and make sure that we're all, you know, getting it done and everything else. I go hard, man.
Yeah, no, that's fair. Yeah, hard in the paint. Hard in the paint.
There you go.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I am a work hard, play hard kind of guy. And so last week, there allegedly has been some discussion about me going around Houston, Texas, wearing slippers and like the gas station and that sort of thing, which contradicts some of the things that I have said about, like, you know, hey, I've been trying to like take care of myself, you know, just trying to get a good haircut in, trying, you know, like rocking the Country Squire radio ring, like, you know, like really, you know, got my new watch on, trying to present a very, you know, put together man. And then all of a sudden, allegedly, there's this discussion of me rolling around wearing slippers all over the place.
Yeah, you're wearing slippers while you're at Luby's cafeteria or something eating meatloaf, you know? I mean, come on. Like 2 p.m.
First of all, I would never, sir, eat meatloaf. Second of all... the rest of that... here's the thing. Either I'm like dressed up or I am not. You know what I mean? Like I'm like, yeah. you see me, right. And either I'm like looking good or I did not try. There is no halfway with me. Never has been, never will be. I am one or the other. So oh, I just felt like I needed to address the discrepancy that some may have picked up on that last week episode. Because, of course, if you're rocking the Country Squire radio ring, you are dressed to the nines, my friend.
You are. They do not really go well with house shoes, you know. Unless it's like a really nice pair that's like, you know, covered on the outside with like lambskin or, you know, alpaca or something.
Alpaca.
No, I mean, the Country Squire radio ring, obviously, it's in a league of its own.
That's right. No. And again, these we're not talking bunny slippers. You know, it doesn't matter. Point is, Country Squire radio ring. If you want to look not like the version of me that is rolling around at the Kroger's with the slippers on, and you want to look at the version of me with like out with the Mrs. on a, you know, on a Thursday night or something like that. That's
got your favorite bowler cap.
Got my cap on. Not my bowler cap. Yeah, you know, I wear those like those, what are the Irish caps? Yeah, the Newsies caps.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's it.
That my watch, my ring. We're looking good. Get yours today. Of course, if you go to CountrySquireRadio.com. You find the link there. Order your Country Squire radio ring while you still can. John David.
Yes.
You and I have been doing this for some time.
We have, man. It's been, years.
Yeah, you know, and one of the things that really, I think, since the earliest days, since the first episode of Country Squire Radio, you could really kind of tell like there's a passion and a love for kind of, yes, pipe tobacco, but for the pipe in particular. You know what I mean? Like there is something that you and I both recognized as we kind of sat down to record, and even well before that, that there is something about a pipe that communicates a sense of history, a sense of legacy, that is in and of itself a physical embodiment of story. A pipe was chosen by the crafter, like was put together to communicate something. And over the years of pipedom, there have been various shapes and styles and different approaches. You've got, especially today, you've got all of these different kind of freehand pipes or these kind of custom-made pipes with these beautiful, like essentially like works of art. And they're all works of art, but really kind of custom jobs that are out there. And then you also have, over time, these various shapes and styles that have kind of established themselves. And I mean, it's extremely diverse. You think about like the history, for example, of cocktails, right? Like over time, you mix and match all these different things, like the different flavorings, the different spirits, the different whatever it is. And over time, certain cocktails become part of our like just, you know, lexicon, right? Like we all know what an old fashioned is. We all know what a Manhattan is, but we might not all know what a Mississippi Mule is. You know what I mean?
Like, right.
And so right. Today we're going to be talking about pipe shapes. We're going to be doing our top three pipe shapes, and we're going to do something different than we've done in the past. In the past, it's been, you know, John David, you kind of given us the top three tier for different categories.
Yeah, sure.
But this is a topic that is so subjective that we thought it'd be fun to mix it up a little bit. And so we each kind of share our own personal top pipe shapes from that lexicon of like the commonly accepted, these are the pipe shapes, not like the Gandalf head or something of that nature. You know what I mean? Like these are in that commonly known area, so to speak.
Yeah, kind of the canonical pipe shapes, you know, the ones that are all agreed upon. The you know, if you're Googling the you know, Dunhill shape chart kind of thing, and our at the first of our minds when you see a pipe in your mind, in your mind's eye, kind of what comes to your mind, what's that image, and you know, and so we're gonna explore that a little bit with Bo and with me.
That's right, man. All right, so again, got to make mention of it one more time. This is a highly subjective list, right? Like this is our opinions. This is totally our thoughts. So take that with a grain of salt. You may have your own personal top three list, and you know, frankly, we'd love to hear that. So be sure to send that at the end of the show. But man, how should we do this? Should we count it down like from 3 to 1, so to speak?
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. Like, I went into this not really having like a particular order, but an order as I got into it, into the meat of it a little more, kind of revealed itself pretty quickly. So let's go. You know, these are top three. These are with three that we'd probably both be thrilled with in any order. Yeah, let's do 3, 2, 1. I think that's good.
Sounds good. All right, I'll kick us off. The Bulldog.
Really?
The Bulldog pipe.
Really? This is going to be a good episode.
Yeah.
Because I didn't, this is going to be good. This is kind of like one of those like get to know your best friend kind of
right.
thing. Because I didn't really peg you for a Bulldog guy.
I know. Yeah. I know. I thought that was going to kind of surprise you. And let me tell you, this is why.
Yeah.
I mean, of course, the Bulldog pipe, for those that are not familiar, I mean, like, oh gosh, John Devy, you want to work your magic and kind of describe it? I'm talking specifically with that kind of.
No, I want you to describe it. It's your choice.
Okay. All right. Man, so it's kind of like that diamond kind of shaped bowl, if you will. Round, of course, but like if you kind of were looking at it to the side, it has kind of that diamond shape. And then the shank, as I understand it, Bulldog can go a couple different ways, but generally you've got kind of that, you know, that kind of square but turned on its side, even kind of a diamond in and of itself to some extent. These are typically smaller pipes, and honestly, man, I love a Bulldog pipe. It was one of the first pipes that really made me kind of go, huh, like looking at something in a, like not a pipe that before becoming a pipe smoker, I would have ever envisioned, if that makes sense. Like, you know, you said before, like you kind of think about like the first kind of pipes that come into your head. The Bulldog was never that for me, which is one of the reasons why, like when I first experienced one, I kind of stood out. I was like, oh, huh, this is, what a bizarre choice. Like, why on earth is the shank cut in such a way where it's like, you know, like this, you know, kind of turned square, like this diamond type of look to it. Also, the Bulldog, of course, has the kind of the traditional lines that go around the widest part of the bowl as well. And the reason why this kind of became on my radar, not just because we've talked about it on the show, but I believe it, even before we covered it on the show, I was going on a fishing trip up in Michigan. It was, I think, one of the first fishing trips that I was going on with my father-in-law. And this was, I want to say, around, if not the same year, it might have been the year following, that my brother-in-law had passed away. So he had just lost his son. And he and I were going to go on this fishing trip. And so I wanted to bring a pipe along with me. Well, in a really bizarre turn of events, you know, normally you go fishing, what do you get? Well, you bring your Missouri Meerschaum along, right?
Yeah, sure.
It's a, you know, low, inexpensive pipe. You know, if it ends up in the river, it's, you know, not that difficult to replace it. For whatever reason, man, I remember coming to the shop and you were plumb sold out of Missouri Meerschaum pipes. Do you remember this at all? This is a long time ago.
Yeah, I really don't, to be honest with you. No, I really don't.
You were completely sold out of Missouri Meerschaums at the time. So you had no corn cob pipes, but you did have this basket, like, you know, kind of beat up bulldog pipe that you handed me, and you actually cut me a deal on it because it was, you know, for one thing, it wasn't, you know, in the nicest condition and everything.
Must have been like an estate pipe, like a used pipe or something.
Yeah, estate pipe. I mean, it was a bit beat up for sure. And this one, if I'm not mistaken, I think actually fell into the hands of Reborn at one point, because I think he actually brought it back to life after my fishing trip. And it was...
I remember that.
You remember
now.
It now?
Yeah, sure do. That was, gosh, was that a Guildhall or a... Kamoy second.
It may have been. I've got it in the cellar.
Yeah,
I don't have it.
I'd
right
have
in front
to.
Of me.
I can see it in my mind. I sure can. Yeah. Oh, I remember that. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. 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 And you know, ever since then, it's so funny because I've got some like really beautiful pipes, some pretty expensive pipes in my collection. But
yeah,
that
sure.
Bulldog, I keep going back to. I smoked it like for a while there. It was my go-to fishing pipe before a listener ended up sending me a Missouri Meerschaum that kind of became my new go-to fishing pipe. And, you know, I would go fishing and that was always the pipe I would go with because, you know, again, at the time it was, you know, busted and super cheap and it like, you know, been through hell and everything else. And I got, you know, a buddy of mine actually took a picture of me and ended up doing a sketch of me holding up a catfish, smoking that same pipe. And,
oh, that's cool.
You know, when you start seeing yourself with the same pipe over time, you start kind of mentally associating it a little bit more with yourself. And I mean, like, man, it's just a good little pipe. It's an easy travel pipe. It's typically a smaller pipe, smaller bowl. It's kind of a way to, you know, kind of get around with a little bit of extra style, a little bit of extra flair without being so over the top. You know what I mean? Like a like a calabash or like a, you know, a church warden. It's got that little bit of extra style to it that I think really makes it stand out. So yeah, I'm choosing the Bulldog as one of my top three.
Number three, Bulldog. Yeah. Man, that's great. I feel like I really did learn something.
I thought I'd surprise you with that one.
That's good.
What about you, man?
Oh, man, I'm glad. Yeah. Hey, man, number three, maybe a little surprise on my end too. I'm going to go with the Dublin. Here.
Okay.
I really, as I just kind of started ruminating on these shapes and thinking about their place for me and all their different characteristics, when I like to smoke what and what types of tobaccos and what I associate, you know, what types of pipes with what periods of life or habits or rhythms or whatever, the Dublin comes to mind. And it's one of those that for some reason I associate more with aromatic tobaccos. I guess the Dublins that I have in my collection tend to get more use kind of with aromatic tobaccos, which I find interesting. I didn't really think about that until I started thinking about this. But Dublins are great. Gosh, they're great. They're so attractive. In some ways, it's similar to a Bulldog because a lot of times you'll have a kind of a flare up and then a flare back in sometimes with a Dublin. And so you see some of that. But, you know, typically Dublins, they do have that kind of cone shape where it's narrowed towards down the to the bottom of the bowl. And then it flares out at the top and typically has some really nice grain a lot of times or a handsome sandblast to kind of go with that. Just to show off all that extra real estate there towards the top of the chamber. Dublins make me really happy. They have a way of showing off some grain. They, again, are that straight pipe that has just a little bit of flair, literally. This is a, you know, kind of a flared bowl that gives it a little more personality. Even the name Dublin evokes, you know, kind of that Scots-Irish, you know, kind of lineage that I associate with. It's just a comfortable pipe. And actually, what's interesting is the Dublins in my collection tend to be bent. And I'm more of a straight pipe smoker. Yeah, I'm more of a straight pipe smoker. And so I really find those very comfortable. The Dublins I have tend to be a little heavier, and so the bend in those are nice. But I think the thing I like the most about the Dublins that I smoke, though, is how they feel in your hand. They just feel right in your hand.
Right, yeah, yeah.
And it's something I think about that flare, how it flares towards the top, and then sometimes we'll kind of divot back in as it comes to a peak there. You know, Dublins are really, they're just really, they feel good in your hand. They're fun to palm. It's just, you know, it's almost like a fidget spinner kind of thing. You know, it's something, something good to fidget with. And, you know, it's something that, it, kind of like when you're talking about the bulldog shape, having that diamond shank, it's something interesting in your hand to tinker with, without being, you know, some wacky freehand pipe, one of these old Prebbenholm pipes that, you know, it's like, well, what, how do you even hold that? I don't even know how you, yeah, I'm supposed to put that in my palm, in my hand, you know, and with a Dublin, it just fits, man. It just fits. I find myself a lot of times with bent Dublins kind of, the way I'll hold them is even different. I'll kind of hold them by the very top of the pipe. It's kind of hard to describe, but I'll kind of hold them like this while I'm smoking them, you know, with my hand actually covering the bowl. And I find myself doing that with them more. For some reason, that's kind of comfortable, and then I can feel the heat of the smoke on my palm. And yeah, it's good. It's good. I think with the bent Dublin, too, it kind of helps some of those aromatic tobaccos that maybe I'm referencing. It helps me smell them, you know, while I'm smoking them. You know, when the tobacco is lower, a little below your face profile, sometimes that smoke will kind of weave its way up to your nostrils and kind of smell the aroma a little more. So, yeah, I mean, it's number three on my list, a Dublin.
Got the Dublin. All right, yeah. All right. The rocky road to Dublin. I like it. I like it, man. All right, we're going to number two. Whew. Okay, this one's a little tougher for me because it's more of like a family of shape. I mean, there's a specific shape in there, but like there's a lot of like cousins around the shape that I either also kind of hold in equal regard or I kind of covet because I don't have them in my collection, but I kind of want them. And that's
Albert,
yeah, go ahead.
Before you say it, I just want to acknowledge the fact that I bet I know what you're talking about, and I don't even – we haven't compared each other's lists. So
no, not at all. We have
but
no
before
idea.
Our show, yeah, I have no idea what Bo's about to say, but I bet I know what he's about to say. Go ahead.
All right. Kind of that Apple family of pipes.
Like dang
kind
it. I was wrong.
Well, you might be thinking about my number one. I know what your number one is. You probably know what my number one is. But man, no, I'm thinking specifically kind of around kind of that – Apple tomato style. You got kind of the ball, even the Diplomat's kind of in there. Like specifically when I think about my collection and the highest end pipes I have and the ones that really showcase the best grain, they're all like Apple pipes. You know, and I kind of, it's funny because for the longest time, and I think even today, I still think you could probably line me up like, you know, like a ball of tomato and apple. Like I don't know that I could very specifically point out the difference, like because the shapes are only like very slightly different to the untrained eye, and so that's where it's kind of difficult because part of me says, well, I mean, it's a tomato, and I'm like, well, no, it's really more of an apple, and I'm like, I mean, like, you know, really that kind of family, that kind of area. And then you got kind of the squash tomato too, which I don't own but have always kind of desired to try.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's such a, you know, that's a pipe with a statement that I'm just not prepared to go there yet. So it's just not.
Well, but there's some squash tomatoes that are a little more subdued, you know, that maybe you're, not as much of a flair. So,
Yeah. But I love them, man. So, you know, you get a good size bowl, so you get a good amount of pipe tobacco and you know, these apples, these tomatoes. And, you know, you talk about like feeling good in the hand, you know, it's kind of rounded. You're kind of holding
that. Yeah.
Rather than a fidget spinner, almost like a stress ball to some extent.
Yeah.
Like a heated stress ball. But yeah, no, man, like it's impossible for me to make a top list and not have, and again, I realize I'm kind of cheating because I'm essentially kind of combining two different shapes and kind of putting them there. But somewhere between the apple and the tomato is really kind of that sweet spot for me. and, you know, because there's, you know, it's, Yeah, I'm cheating by saying that. I just want to make I acknowledge that I'm kind of breaking
it's
my
like
own
when we
rules
do
here.
Quick fire with the squire, and it's like, yeah, this one, but also that one kind of thing. Right. We're not really right. supposed to do that, but you know, we'll give you a pass.
Yeah, exactly. So you know, and the other thing too is, in my mind, the tomato and the apple are not different enough for them to be like. Again, this is just me. I don't find them different enough in the way that kind of I kind of perceive the shape and enjoy the pipe.
Yeah,
they're really that same kind of caliber, and they don't fall to number. They don't go all the way up to number one for me, but they're in kind of that number two category because again, you can get some exquisite grain really showcased in a lot of those pipes.
Yeah,
and all of my nicest pipes, man, are right in that kind of wheelhouse,
kind of in that realm. Yeah. I would really like to see what you think about an author. Shaped pipe, you know, those big, which is essentially an author is really essentially a large tomato kind of, you know, right. I mean, it's just, it fills your palm really well. It tends to be a little chunkier, generous sized bowl. And you know, that, I think that kind of suits you. I could see you smoking that with your newsy cap on.
so here's the deal. I do have an author in my collection.
Yeah.
And I actually, it's one of the oldest pipes that I actually have in my collection. I want to say it was maybe the third or fourth pipe I ever purchased.
Yeah.
And I got it specifically to play poker at my brother's bachelor party because I wanted something. Yeah. I was like let me find the biggest bowl pipe in here so that I can like pack this thing with pipe tobacco and focus on my cards, you know what I mean? And
not,
of course, you know, I end up having to like, you know, kind of keep it going the entire game and everything. But you know, funny enough, man, the author, you're right, that's in that exact same kind of wheelhouse and everything, but I don't know, that one's just slightly too large for it to fit in my hand comfortably.
I got it.
Whereas the apple or the tomato is really more of that kind of like prime grip in my mind.
Yeah.
But yeah. Anyway. Yeah. So yeah, that's number two for me. What about you?
That's great. Man, so maybe a little bit of a, I don't know, kind of a surprise on this one as well. So number two for me, maybe, you know, this is a pipe shape that I really didn't like at first. I actually thought it was not very attractive when started initially getting into the pipe game and, you know, collecting pipes more and getting into different shapes and just being more aware of that type of thing. But my number two pipe shape that has developed over the years that I really have come to love and gravitate to, it's hard for me to not pull one off the shelf when I'm ready to smoke a pipe every day. And that's the Prince. That's the Prince.
Yeah,
I love a Prince, man. Mm-hmm. Golly, what a beautiful, elegant shape. It's the stately lines of it, the daintiness of it, but also sophistication. It's just it's a great shape. And I just really have come to enjoy a Prince. You know, it's funny. I've probably mentioned this on the show before, but Mrs. Reeves, who hired me years and years ago, that was her favorite shape. And she always would, you know, our cases, this is back when the squire was just, you know, on life support and almost dead. You know, back in the real dry times where we were, we just needed a little energy that we didn't have at the time. But man, she would order these pipes to go on our shelves, and at least half the pipes would always be Prince shaped pipes. I mean, she would just order all these Prince shaped pipes. And every time I'd be like, why are you doing that? No one's buying those. They're just sitting there, you know, and come to find out, well, I know why she was buying, you know, was ordering those for our shelves. And I mean, it's because it's just such a great shape. And and the more you kind of explain it and everything to people, I think you really start to understand, you know, folks really get the bug. There's something to be said about a Prince shaped pipe. Prince shaped pipes, you've kind of, in some way, Bo, kind of like you were saying, they're kind of a cousin to that squash tomato or something. You've got basically a pot shape that tends to be a little wider at the bottom than it is at the top. It's a squat shape pipe. This is a shorter pipe. And then traditionally the stem and shank are just the slightest bit curved, just enough to give it a little bit of a dynamic where you've kind of, it's not a bent pipe per se, but it's something that's got just a little curve to it. It's interesting, as someone that's been in this industry a long time now, you would think I'd have some kind of terminology for that. It's not like a quarter bend or an eighth bend. It's just a Prince, you know. It's just got that little bit of a flair to it. And man, Princes are awesome. I have several in my collection that are very very special to me, both for how they smoke, but then also for things they represent or who gave them to me. A couple that come to mind. I've got a Savinelli Punto Oro that is a rusticated pipe. It's a natural pipe, unfinished, that was rusticated, and it's one of their more high-grade pipes, obviously, and it's just a very good smoker. It's an older pipe, so it's got a real ebonite stem on it, no filter, and it was given to me by a friend, actually, that I'm part of the purpose of me mentioning this pipe is and why it's so important to me is who gave it to me. It was actually given to me by a friend who I'm not on speaking terms with anymore.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. Huh.
And when I smoke this particular pipe, I think of that person, and I think of kind of a friendship that, you know, I hope one day is redeemed and all that kind of stuff. And so, you know, he gave me that pipe. It's very special to me. It's a good smoker, but it's also something when I smoke, I kind of think of him, you know. And so there's an emotional attachment to that pipe as well. Another pipe that I've got is another Savinelli. It's a Prince shape, and it's a pipe that a dear friend of mine gave me, and it's actually a dear friend that gave us a pipe last episode, and it's Mark Van Vranken. Mark gave me a Prince of Wales Savinelli, which they have not made in a long time, but it's not quite a churchwarden length, but it's a longer stem pipe that has a Prince shaped bowl, very very elegant with just a real funky stem, kind of I don't know, almost if their Clark's Favorite were a Prince shape rather than a billiard shape, it would kind of be in that realm. And so Mark gave me that pipe years ago, and I just really really adore it. But the reason I like Prince shape pipes, though, as far as their smoking ability, they have, you know, if you're like me and you smoke a lot of flake tobacco, I love to smoke flake tobaccos out of Prince shape pipes. If you smoke the flake whole, or if you do like I do and you tear the flake apart kind of into a ready rubbed consistency before you put it in your pipe bowl, whenever you light flake, a lot of times what happens is the little leaves that are stuck together, when they get consumed with the fire, they'll kind of start to fan out and explode up over the roof of the bowl. They'll kind of start to ease up over the edge of the bowl. And I like smoking these in a Prince because the bowl shape tends to be kind of squat and shorter, and so you can see the entire and because of just the little gradual bend on the Prince, you can kind of see the entire top of the bowl while it's being lit, and those little flake puffs of tobacco are kind of going up over the top. They're kind of billowing, not the smoke, but the actual tobacco leaves itself are kind of starting to fluff up over the top of the bowl. It makes it easier to light the flake tobacco to keep it lit, but it also is just very visually appealing and pleasing. It's just one more element of enjoying the experience. I think Princes are really comfortable in my hand, and the balance of them is really nice, particularly if it's kind of a longer, more svelte, elongated shape. And I just really like a Prince. Yeah. So that'll be number two for me.
All right. Yeah. I probably could have guessed that, to be honest. I think that tracks. That definitely tracks, man.
Yeah. Okay.
Man. Okay. So doubling the Prince. I mean, like, definitely you're putting on like that high class vibe, you know, like, you never know it. I mean, you know, we walk in like, oh, you know, I just own a Country Squire tobacco shop in Jackson, Mississippi. Like, no, man, you got that high class vibe. That's what I'm saying.
Bo's very poor effort of mimicking my redneck accent.
No, it was intentional. It was intentionally awful. All right. But now we're down to number one. And my guess is that anybody who's been listening to Country Squire Radio for some time, probably you can place your bets now. It's safe to place the bets. You probably know what we're going to say. I have no problem putting, you know, maybe a year's salary down on knowing what John David's going to say for his number one choice. But for me, man, number one, it always goes back to my first love, which is a straight billiard pipe. Yeah. It's the classic. Yep. It is literally the first pipe I ever purchased. It's so funny because my original straight billiard pipe holds such a place of prominence in my collection and just in kind of, yeah, just, you know, my pipe journey, I suppose, and, you know, is really kind of the one I associate with myself, even though I don't smoke it as much. You know, I think we've talked about this before, is it's funny because the pipe that we probably associate closest to ourselves is not necessarily, if we don't smoke it all the time, it's not the one that others will associate.
You know,
with.
That's interesting. You know what I mean? Yeah, that's probably, yeah, I could see that. I could see that. Yeah.
I love a straight billiard pipe, though. I mean, like, you know, it feels comfortable. It is just a classic, no-nonsense look. But at the same time, it is a pipe, and it does make a statement in and of itself from that standpoint. I have been, I would say, to my shame, I have not purchased more billiard pipes. And I think part of that is because I kind of do hold the straight billiard and that original pipe in particular in kind of such high regard that I always feel like if I'm getting another pipe, well, I should get a different kind of shape, you know, something a little bit more elaborate or something that's a little bit more, you know, statement making or, you know, something that does have kind of a unique look to it so that when I'm sitting down with friends or maybe folks that have not smoked a pipe before, I can kind of share kind of some of that. Oh, that's a unique shape. Well, let me tell you about it. And that sort of thing. Yeah. Like share a little bit of the history there. Yeah. Whereas with the billiard, because it is a little bit more of a standard type of look, a standard type of approach, it doesn't get that same kind of curiosity from the non-pipe smoker. But man, oh man, do I love a billiard pipe, man. I need to kind of get over that and not try to impress anybody, but just kind of make myself a happy pipe smoker and really start getting myself some more straight billiards. But yeah, that is absolutely my number one.
That's great. Yeah, I could have seen that a mile away. And man, you know, and for me too, you know, so I'm going to like maybe piggyback off you a little bit here because, you know, your number three pick, you kind of, or maybe it was number, I guess there's number three pick. You kind of had your cake and you ate it too. You know, you're like, well, I like these Prince or these apple shaped pipes, but they all is a squat tomato and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, and for me, there's kind of a family of pipes here that maybe I thought this was the direction you were going earlier. And the family of pipes for me is number one, but they really are distinct in their own way. And so it's not really fair to put them all in the same family. My favorite pipe shape has to be the Bing. I love a Bing. They're very dear to my heart, and there's something about the the medium to small size bowl, the height of the wall of the chamber, the very long slender combination of the shank and the stem, you know, close enough to a church warden to be kind of associated with one, but not really because it's, you know, not that long or flamboyant, you know, just a very clean mid-century look. That is a pipe that's just very, very dear to me. There's a reason I own six of them now. However many there are, I don't know. You know, it's just a
what do you define as own? Because, you know, like, you've got what you own, but then you've got there's like the,
yeah,
your
I own
stock
everything in the shop, right? Yeah,
it's like literally, it's like yours, and it's like it's quote unquote not yours until that day when it is yours, which it was yours. And I'm just saying, you know, you probably have more than six if we're being honest.
It's funny that, you know, I mentioned earlier how Mrs. Reeves loved the print shape. And so she would order a bunch of them for the shop. Right. And so we'd have the cases would be full of these Princes that would just sit there forever. Well, it's the same thing with me, but it's all Bings. Right. It's just like what? You know, our employees, my, you know, coworkers at the shop, they open a box and they're like, why did we order? Why is there another Bing's favorite here? There's like four already on the shelf, you know? So, well, but this one had different grain than that one had, you know?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
So, I love the Bing, and something about the length there. It's very, very nice to me how it cools the smoke down. And also the stem thickness tends to be a little more thin down towards the button where your teeth are interacting with the pipe. And so it's just a fun pipe. They're great to hold. They're fun to gesture with. They're just great pipes. They tend to be good Virginia tobacco smokers because they kind of have that tall, narrow chamber in there, and it's they're just fun. I love them. I love the look of them. I think they're comfortable. But you know, I said earlier something about kind of the family of pipes that are there.
Yeah.
And referencing that, and to me, that family that the Bing is kind of associated with really is the straight billiard. It's the straight billiard, that bowl shape. There's, you know, you kind of have the overall pipe profile, but then you also have just the shape of the bowl itself. And within that shape of the bowl itself fall a lot of my favorite shapes. And that is the Bing. It's the it's the billiard, it's the Canadian, it's the Levat. These are all very important shapes to me that I kind of, I you know, I can't, for a top three, I don't feel like I could put the, you know, the Bing, the billiard, and the Levat. I almost feel like that would be, you know, cheating because it's, you know, like three faces of the same thing in some ways. You know, there's that billiard, the cylindrical bowl shape, and that is very consistent there with you know, certainly with the Bing, which I love, but also the straight billiard. I mean, gosh, that's got such a dear place in my heart. All my you know, so many of my favorite pipes are that straight billiard, and Levats with those stubby little stems, but then that same kind of cylindrical shape, and Canadians, the same cylindrical shape on the bowl, but the extra flare of all that extra you know, oval shaped shank that has the extra length that's kind of similar to the Bing in its own right. Man, there's just a lot to love there, and I really, really like those. So in some sense, that kind of whole family is number one for me. But if I had to pick one of that entire family, it would, it'd be the Bing. Yeah.
I am. Oh, I know that shocked so many of our listeners.
Yeah. You know, one thing that came up when I was thinking about this topic as I was preparing for this, you know, a pipe shape that I wish I loved, but I don't.
Can I actually take a guess?
Yeah, take a stab. Sure.
Okay, I'm gonna say the Oompal.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, that would be a good guess. That's not it. That's not it. I like Oompals. Very comfortable in the mouth. Way too bent for me typically. A pipe shape that I wish I loved, but that I don't, because I have trouble smoking them. And that is the Cutty.
Oh, huh. Yeah.
I have trouble smoking a Cutty pipe. I do. The way that those bowls tend to be canted forward just a little bit. There's something about the angle of the burn, the tobacco, keeping it lit. I love the look of a Cutty. I think they just look awesome. The historical references there, obviously a lot of clay pipes are Cutty shaped. You know, we see the little stiletto on the bottom of them, you know, that little nub on the bottom to kind of help preserve the integrity of the bowl and all that. There's just a lot to love about how a Cutty looks. I just can't keep them lit.
Yeah.
Huh. I just can't keep them lit. And it's interesting to me. I really love that shape. Hardly pull for one because I know I'm going to struggle smoking it. So
You know that, and it might be because you know, it might be because of what it's made of. I mean, it may be that same kind of shape in a different form, say not in briar, but maybe
different material.
Material, a corn cob pipe, for example. Like for example, the little devil Cutty corn cob pipe from our friends at Missouri Meerschaum.
That is right. The little devil Cutty is a great little pipe if you can keep it lit, and you probably can because it is a corn cob. Man, the little devil from Missouri Meerschaum, they just have such a such a great line of pipes there, and they've got a really nice selection of those small kind of stubby pipes that are good pocket pipes with medium to small size bowls, and the little devil is right in the middle of that. It's a handsome little pipe. It's got that nice metal band on there, and just a kind of a darker finish with a very high quality stem. And so check it out. It's very reasonably priced from corncobpipe.com. if you go there, you know, check it out along with so many of their other wonderful selections, including the gift bags that we mentioned last week. But order a pipe from there. They'll ship it right to your front door.
That's right. And hey, if you've got one in this week, be sure to enjoy it. Take yourself a picture doing so. Tweet it out. It's a great way to let the good folks at Missouri Meerschaum know we appreciate them for sponsoring this show.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Pipe question of the week.
All right, man. Pipe question of the week this week coming in from Josh White, who writes in.
I love hearing from Josh. This is awesome.
Yeah, this is Josh, your old friend from Texas. He says, my pipe question of the week is, what should I do with my unopened tin of McClelland 40th anniversary? I just turned 40 myself and thought about opening it up and enjoying it. I'm torn. What is the rough estimate of its worth? Would you hold on to it would you hold on to it or open it up and enjoy it? Again, that is from Josh White, your old friend from Texas.
Man, it's always great to hear from Josh. Just as a reminder to our listeners, so we had a custom cob competition for Christmas years ago.
Oh, yeah, that's awesome.
Josh's wife was the one that painted the cob that had the full manger scene on it. And I think we wound up selling that pipe for... It was a lot. I mean, that pipe, we donated the proceeds of that to, I think, the Ronald McDonald House. And, it was a great success all around. But that pipe got so much interest because of how beautiful it was. Anyway, that was Josh's wife. And, Josh, great to hear from your brother all the way from East Texas. And, man, looking forward to seeing you again, I hope soon. But, if it were me, you just turned 40. I'd open that puppy up. It's time to do what you're going to do with that. Either smoke it or sell it. For me, this is the key. So the 40th anniversary McClelland, if you sold that tin of tobacco there, I don't know, you could probably get, somewhere slightly north of $100 for that can of tobacco. It would be my guess. It's a little harder to say nowadays because you can't sell these on eBay like you used to be able to get away with. And so, your mileage may vary. You might be able to get 100 and a half. You might get, 85. But, somewhere probably just north of 100 would be my guess for that tin. It's a great tobacco. It's so delicious. I would open it, if it were me. The reason I would go ahead and smoke it and open it, Virginias have a characteristic where over time they're going to peak, and if this tobacco, if it's their 40th anniversary, that would have been, let's see, I think that came out in maybe 2016, is that right? So we're talking 5 years ago. Yeah, I mean, I think that's got just the right amount of time on it for that Virginia leaf in there to just be darn near perfect. I mean, if you wait a bunch of more years on this particular tobacco, it's going to peak, and it's going to start producing diminishing results as far as the aging goes. And so, to me, the ripeness of the Virginias before it starts to get too mellow, it's important to kind of hit that peak a little before. And so that's why, when people very graciously, they'll say, hey, I've got some 30-year-old Christmas cheer. You want to try some? And I'll smoke it. And a lot of times it does taste very good. But really that Christmas cheer, it would have been so much better if it was maybe 7 years old, And so you're kind of easing up to that time period with the 40th anniversary there. So, I'd crack that joker open and smoke it if you care to. So that's what I do.
And honestly, I mean, like you talk about $100 or so, I mean, that the 40th birthday is kind of when you're going to spend that kind of money to treat yourself.
Well, it's true. Yeah. I mean, think about I turned 40. I'm going to go buy a really nice bottle of scotch or something. Like, well, here's your pipe tobacco.
Exactly. You already did it and you didn't have to spend the money. Yeah. So it works out pretty well.
You spent $15 like 5 years ago when it came out.
Yeah. See, right. Josh, you were smart. You're smart. Yep. Enjoy it. And happy 40th as well, Josh. Thanks so much for the question. Hey, if you've got a pipe question of the week, be sure to send that into the show. That is show@countrysquireradio.com.
Quick fire with the squire.
quick fire question.
Ow!
All right, man, quick fire questions. This is, I guess, Precious Rock Edition, Stones Edition.
What?
Please send some quick fire questions into the show.
Oh, that's hilarious.
You know, you can always tell, like, once we hit the empty kit, like, you know, we've got all these wonderful, great pipe questions and so much great listener feedback and everything. We are backed up like crazy. And the quick fire question, sometimes, like, that one every once in a while we'll hit empty on, and then you can tell because it'll be like a week like this week.
The cupboard's kind of bare, and it's, you ask your daughter, like, well, give us some quick fire questions. And she's like, do you like, you know, yellow or purple better?
Unicorns or fairies. Yeah, exactly. All right, here we go. You ready?
Yep.
Gold or silver?
This is actually kind of hard.
I know. Isn't it funny?
it actually is. Okay, so I like silver-toned things, and often that means white gold.
Yeah, exactly, right?
You know what I mean? So, yeah, like, I look at my ring, I look at my watch, I think those silver tones are, I don't know, they're just more attractive to me. So I'll go with silver.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. And I mean, you're exactly right. It ends up being white gold more than anything else. But I really, really like some silver. So plus I think gold's making a comeback, but I feel like that silver white gold has been kind of like, you know, gotten ahead. It's been like on top for quite some time, but I do feel like there's like that desire for a little bit more of an old fashioned look. And I feel like gold is kind of making a comeback in that.
It has that vintage essence to it. I actually asked the guy when I went in to purchase our wedding bands. This has been over 3 years ago now. I actually asked the guy that question. Because I looked around, I was like, you know, growing up, I thought of wedding bands as being yellow gold because that was what my parents had and, you know, my dad's friends and all that kind of stuff. But then, you know, when I came around and was getting married, most of my friends had the white gold. And I thought that was more attractive. And you go inside the jewelry store and you see more of that white gold or platinum or that, you know, kind of tone. And I thought that was we just had a conversation about that. I think he said it's something like 3-1 white gold to yellow gold nowadays, but that it was kind of changing back in that other direction a little bit. So just like everything else, things come and go.
Come back around. All right, ruby or emerald?
Emerald. I love green. I just love green.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. Emerald's actually my birthstone, so I'm a fan from that standpoint,
too. Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah.
Yeah, actually, high school colors were like, you know, red and blue, but when they were coming around with the class rings, I ended up getting an emerald because it was my birthstone, and I was like, you know, I'm kind of more attached to myself than I am my alma mater, so I'm going to go with an emerald instead of a ruby. All right, amethyst or sapphire?
Sapphire. I like that that beautiful, brilliant blue. That's very very handsome.
All right, so you kind of made the joke about the idea coming from the kids. The idea didn't come from the kids. However, my oldest has got kind of like she's gotten into rocks pretty big lately.
Yeah.
And so like she has a little bit of a rock collection.
I went through that phase. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, it's funny because as she's like pulling out all these little like rocks and crystals and amethysts and everything else, I was like, oh yeah, it brings me back to like, you know, oh, what is it? The agriculture museum in Jackson, right across, you know, right diagonal to you and everything. If you go into like the general store there, they've got all the different rocks and amethysts.
Yeah, you can buy a little, kind of, you know, for a nickel, you know, you can get a little, I don't know, topaz or whatever.
Exactly. And right next to the rock candy, which is really, really dumb because obviously
very confusing, right? Lawsuit waiting to happen. Yeah.
I'm going to go with the amethyst for that reason. And then finally, diamond or pearl?
This one's hard too, actually. I think I would prefer pearl overall. I think pearls are elegant and, you know, beautiful. They kind of have a 1920s feel to them.
Yeah.
Think of like Queen Elizabeth or Margaret Thatcher. I'll go with pearl.
Diamonds are a little over the top to some extent. I actually, a long time ago when we went to Florence, there is, I think, a bridge. I want to say it's called Ponte Vecchio. I could be wrong on that.
Bless you.
And on the bridge, it's like all these little jewelry stores, and they open up in the morning, and they kind of like literally like the front wooden face like opens up, like they crank it up and everything. It almost looks like a jewelry box opening up. It's really beautiful. I went there with my wife and actually bought her a string of pearls, and just kind of a treasured possession and treasured.
And then couldn't
artifact.
Afford to come home, so yeah, it was great.
just barely. But anyway, all right, well, there you go. That actually ended up being pretty good, all things considered.
That was good. Yeah, I like that. It's great.
Yeah, that being said, y'all, please send us some quick fire questions, and you can send them into the show@countrysquireradio.com.
Your thoughts, your comments.
listener feedback.
Listener feedback this week, man. We got it in from Jeff, who writes in, "Hey guys, love the show. This is about a recent show detailing Country Squire Radio ring." He says, "I've been married for over 33 years. My original ring got too small and haven't been able to remove it. Recently, I was able to get it off. I was going to have it resized. The cost was more than your new ring. So, you guessed it, I purchased the ring and it will become my new wedding ring.
No way!
I'm looking forward to receiving it and wearing it. Keep up the good work." And that is from Jeff. Jeff, wow. That is awesome, brother.
Man, that's great. Man, we're a part of your story, dude. That's really cool.
He's not alone, man. There's a couple of guys that have actually shared that they actually got it to specifically replace their wedding ring.
Wow.
Especially some older folks. Like, you know, as you get older, you might have, you know, put on a little bit of that, you know, those extra...
Yeah, married weight. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And so the ring doesn't quite fit like it used to. And I've got to tell you, the Country Squire ring is really, really comfortable. As Jeff now knows for sure.
That's cool, man. That's really great. Well, I mean, we're honored, brother. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. And hey, love getting in the listener feedback. If you've got some listener feedback for us, be sure to send it into the show. That is show@countrysquireradio.com. You can also follow John David at John David Cole, or the shop at _countrysquire, or the show at Squire Radio. But all that information and more can be found at countrysquireradio.com, including the link to get your Country Squire Radio ring. Purchasing those helps out the show. Speaking of helping out the show, we also love our patrons over at patreon.com/countrysquireradio. Help out the show. Keep us on the air going. That's the place to do it. John David, man, really enjoyed talking about these top three pipes. As I mentioned at the top of the show, man, a pipe is a physical embodiment of a story. And I was really excited because not only did we get a chance to share a little bit about our, you know, personal tastes and preferences when it comes to pipes, we also got to share a little bit about our own personal stories as well, and the stories that surround those pipes.
Man, I know. And so many that I, you know, even as I'm kind of thinking about the after part of our conversation, I just, so many other stories I wish I did share. You know, there's just a lot of great events that happen around your pipe that you start to connect with, and there's reasons why we love what we love. So, it's good to unpack that, man. We'd love to hear some of your stories too.
Absolutely. And I feel like, you know, in some form or fashion, we might make a revisit to this. For example, like, you know, Missouri Meerschaum, for example, has a lot of custom shapes that we got to, you know, top three Missouri Meerschaum pipes could be really, really interesting as well. So, love to hear from y'all. Man, until then, let's go have a day.
See you, brother.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.